Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's the Red Zone on Cards Radio 790 KRD. Fueled by Thornton's.
Holy crap. I don't know who the hell we think we are.
My wife can score more than 2 buckets on 11 shots.
The kids are playing their tail off and the coaches are screwing it up.
Go play intramurals, brother. Go play intramurals.
They're supposed to be mature adults, but they're really not. Who's the kid here? Are you kidding me?
Now here's your host, Nick Coffey.
All right, let's do this. Good morning. Welcome in. You are in the Red Zone here on 790 KRD. My name's Nick Coffey, the marvelous Matt Allen alongside today, taking you up till 10 o'clock. Take us with you wherever you go with the iHeartRadio app. Also listen live at 790KRD.com. And you know the drill. We are fueled, proudly fueled by Thornton's, I should say. In fact, we're going to talk about Thornton's in just a moment because they've got something really cool going on all summer long that starts now. And I am looking forward to sharing that with all of you guys. But we're getting closer and closer to Kentucky Derby. That's exciting for a lot of people, right? And obviously the weather still looks really, really bad for Saturday. In fact, every time I look, I feel like it looks worse. But we could end up getting a good surprise because I think, what was it, Tuesday night was probably, I can't say that I was tracking the forecast from start to finish, but like I know there was expected to be some storms coming in the evening, and there were none. My wife and her friends, they go every year to the Kentucky Derby Festival Wine Fest, which I think used to previously be on the waterfront. I think this year they did it at Slugger Field. And they've been looking forward to going for a while now. And they were expected to get terrible weather, and it didn't happen. So maybe that's what happens on Saturday. Fingers crossed, because doesn't look good right now. But again, we've got a little bit of time for that to change. All right, so again, Thornton's. We're proudly fueled by Thornton's. I'm going to mention this many times because it's something you guys need to be well aware of. But Thornton's, starting now, they have got a cash bash. So each week, one lucky member of the Refreshing Rewards program that you guys hear me talk about all the time. So once a week, one lucky member is going to win $10,000 all summer with a grand prize of a 2022 Chevy Tahoe. It's very easy. You got to simply open your Refreshing Rewards app, click on the summer cash bash icon to enter, and you're good. Now, you can also earn additional entries by purchasing select brands like Mountain Dew, 20-ounce bottles, hot dogs, Bud Light 12-pack, hell yeah, large Doritos, and many more using a Refreshing Rewards card. So as a member, you will see which items you can purchase, of course, and which ones will give you more entries, and you got a chance to win $10,000 all summer. And with a grand prize of a 2022 Chevy Tahoe. So by now, if you're not a Refreshing Rewards member, I don't know what to tell you. It's a shameful, shameful thing for you to not be a member. I mean, I don't get it. It doesn't cost you anything. You're going to save money. You're going to be able to potentially be a winner of all these great, great things they give away to their members. So you can download the app today. Or here's the easiest way for you to join. Text REWARDS to 803-13 today. So again, text the word rewards to 803-13. It's the Thornton's Cash Bash all summer long. All right. I've got, because I know that's what you guys tune in for. You want to hear my analysis on this year's Kentucky Derby, and you want to hear my analysis on the sport that is horse racing. I do say that with sarcasm because, you know, horse racing is not really my expertise, but I do now have a horse that has become sort of like one of the horses that I'm going to probably box with something and pull for, and that's Messier. And I think I'm saying that right. M-E-S-S-I-E-R. Matt, you're the brains of the operation. Does that sound right? Is the R silent? Messier? Okay. he passes his spell check or his pronunciation check, then we're good to go. And I didn't realize this. My buddy Rick Heber, Planet Fitness, Suntan City, big U of L supporter, which is why the basketball practice facility is called the Heber Center. He is part of the ownership team of this horse. And it's a horse that, like, has good enough odds to where I feel like, okay, we're on to something here, right? I think I don't know if the odds are as of right now, but last I checked, it's 8-1. It's pretty solid. Not a favorite, but certainly not a long shot. Or not the favorite. And then it's in post position number 6, which last I checked is not so bad. So there you go. All right, we'll stick with horse racing because I just found this to be fascinating. Two things. We've got this is well done by the Courier-Journal. They've got a horse racing name generator. And there's also a study that I wanted to mention. We'll probably save this for coming up here in just a few minutes. But it's a study by uscasinos.com that I feel like when it comes to derby time in this show, and we don't talk a ton of derby just because we don't necessarily have – I'm not an expert in horse racing. I don't believe Matt is unless he's living a secret life that I'm not aware of. So what we do for you is we play the derby profiles from our expert, Jody Demling, who in all seriousness is super sharp when it comes to horse racing. We let you guys hear from him because he can tell you all about these horses that are in the field. But this was it's a study and a survey on people we can relate to. And I say we, I guess I should just only speak for myself and no one else, because I'm sure there are plenty of you listening that are fans of horse racing and follow it more so than I do. But those like me that aren't really into it and try this week to do some really baseline, basic homework to figure out who you want to bet on, this is a survey that tells you what people look at when they look at when they decide who they're going to go with, who they like. And, you know, it's a mixture of different things, like, is it familiarity? Does the name give you nostalgia? Is it something on a current world matter that you're super caught up with and super interested in? So I just found that fascinating. We'll save that for coming up a little bit later on. But horse racing name generator. This is really cool by the Courier-Journal. And this is the kind of stuff I liked. Again, you can clown me if you'd like. This is the kind of stuff I just like to have fun with when it comes to derby time. And I'm still waiting on Jason Franks to give us his annual story that he does every year that I really enjoy. And it's a deep dive into each horse and how they got their name. I just found that to be fascinating. But my derby horse name, Matt, let me see. You and I were on the same page yesterday in agreement that the horses, and it's just not a great name derby. Doesn't mean it won't be a good derby for everybody involved, but like there wasn't a single name in the 20 horse field that really stood out to me, but maybe that's just me. But Matt and I were on the same page. Matt, how do you evaluate the horse name Muddy Side Saddle? That's my name. I feel like that's pretty, generic.
Muddy Side Saddle?
Muddy Side Saddle.
That sounds like a horse from like a Western and not a Derby horse.
Yeah. Muddy Side Saddle doesn't scream thoroughbred about to maybe run for the roses,
it does,
right?
Not at all.
Do you want to know yours?
If it's worse, not really, but okay.
I think yours is a lot better.
All right.
Because I could see this being like, I don't know if I'd pick it to be, I don't know what I, if I looked at the name and say, yeah, this is a winner. But I could, if I'm looking at the field of 20 horses, I think this one would fit, and I would not be surprised to see this name.
All right.
It is Fluffy Dancer.
Yeah, I guess
it's better than mine.
It's closer to a derby sounding horse than yours, but it's still not.
It's not great.
It's not great.
And now that we're talking names, I tell you what. This study that I mentioned a moment ago, this survey, I should say, there were apparently a lot of horses in the, you know, there's a lot of horses that compete to get a spot in the Derby and don't end up getting there. And there were two that were on pace to get in but just missed it. And I think these two names would have been easily the best two names in the field. I want to get your thoughts. I love this name. If it was in the Derby, I'd roll with it. I'd just put it across the board and hope, even if it's a long shot. Call Me Midnight. I like that.
That's pretty good.
That's solid.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then another one is Forbidden Kingdom. I like that too.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's better than ours.
Yeah, they missed out on you know, they won. I mean, I don't know how these horses didn't make the cut. I'm sure they didn't qualify like the others that did. But again, I just I thought that was interesting. So, anyways, there you have it. All right. I think we needed to talk once again, and I hate to be repetitive because this is something we've actually talked about here and there for consecutive days now, but Amani Bates, the Memphis transfer that I knew, I think we all know his story. He was a high school phenom. I don't need to reset all that because you're well aware. But what I didn't know is those that are evaluating players that are in the transfer portal in college basketball, the majority of them have him ranked as like the best available player in the portal. And that's not even including, that is including guys that have already like transferred and committed elsewhere. And yes, it's still based off of his hype and buzz that he had coming out of high school. And he had one season at Memphis. And yes, a little underwhelming given what that hype was. But again, as I've said many times, I don't think you can overstate the fact that this kid actually put up double figures and, you know, average, and was playing college basketball as a high school senior. He enrolled early. So one, he's believed to be a bigger get than maybe I anticipated, because again, those that even, I mean, there's, he's still projected to be a top draft pick in the 2024 draft, which 2023 draft, which by the way, he's not eligible because he enrolled early. You know, he's, instead of waiting 1 year after high school, he has to wait two because he enrolled early. So he can't go to the draft. If he could, he probably would, to be honest with you. But anyways, I bring him up because one, again, there's people that actually believe he could have a bigger impact in college basketball next season than I realized. But also, Louisville appears to be the leader here. I don't get into the crystal balls as much. We talked about that during the DJ Wagner thing, and we're going to talk more about DJ Wagner because, I mean, not today necessarily, we don't, unless there's an update. But my point is, like, DJ Wagner is kind of the exception that when people start flipping their crystal ball, we start to talk about it, because even though, as I discussed, the day that that became a big talking point, I think people did that simply because they were under the impression that Milt Wagner was about to be announced as an assistant coach. And that didn't happen. It was Danny Manning. Kenny snuck in a surprise on us. So I don't put much into the crystal balls, but for what it's worth, if you are somebody that does track that, as of earlier this week, everybody is now shifting their crystal ball to Louisville, as this is where he's going to land. And we knew Louisville was going to be, I mean, we found out earlier this week they were one of six schools that were sort of, you know, finalists for this guy. And Travis Branham is the most notable recruiting analyst of 24/7 Sports that I've seen that thinks, not only does he think Amani Bates is going to come to Louisville, he actually thinks Amani Bates is, without question, just because of the upside, the best available talent in the portal. And here's a quote from Amani Bates on Kenny Payne. This is from on3sports.com. Quote, "I've known him since I was in seventh grade. I took a visit to Kentucky when I was a kid, and me and him had a bond, and we were always really close. KP is someone I would really love to learn from." And I don't know if this, I mean, I don't know what we do with this, but I feel that at least mentioning it is necessary here. The guy we talked about here and there, Mark Fiscarelli, I'm convinced he's not a real person. I think the speculation now is this is like a coach's burner Twitter, or he's created. I don't know what coach would do this and waste their time. But Mark Fiscarelli, I'm convinced he's not a real person until I find out otherwise. He doesn't exist as a U.S. Basketball Writers Association member like he claims. There's no articles written by him covering college basketball like he claims in his default Twitter bio. He looks like a bot to me. Everything about this account is a bot, other than the fact that it has scoop. I mean, he is this random person on Twitter has broke commitments a week before they're announced. I mean, he did it to Devin Reed, the Louisville signee, last week. And that's one of many that he's been out in front on. And initially you're like, okay, this is not a real account. This is probably just, because usually these accounts exist to do the opposite. They exist to make you think, to make it look like it's a real person. And they say something that's totally not true and you fall for it, right? You get got by a Twitter troll. Well, this is a guy who, everything about the profile and the Twitter account says Twitter troll, other than the actual content of said Twitter profile, which is good college basketball recruiting and transfer scoop. And he now claims, this is Fiscarelli, he said last night on Twitter, "Per a source close to the situation, Amani Bates is locked in on joining Kenny Payne in Louisville for the 2022-23 season. Expect a commitment, quite possibly the biggest name in the transfer portal. So, look, if this guy comes in and he's, and I don't know how fair this is, but, you know, some people say he could potentially be a team killer and that there was a lot of morale issues last year at Memphis and maybe he was a factor in that. And I don't know if that's, I don't know. And there's not really anything out there that directly says that, but Memphis and Penny had a lot of problems last year. Penny called out his veterans for being jealous and not embracing the new talent they brought in. They brought in Amoni Bates and Jalen Duren, 2 5-star players, and I guess there was some jealousy among the veterans that were returning, and it caused some turmoil for them. That's a tough word for me to say. So I'm not sure how responsible Bates actually is for any of that, but that's out there. So just be aware that if Louisville does land a commitment, you may hear from others that say, we'll see how this works out because, you know, he was a team cancer or he was a locker room issue, which I'm not sure how much of that you will actually hear, but it wouldn't shock me if you heard a little bit. But I think the biggest takeaway, if in fact Amani Bates commits to Louisville, before he plays a game, it needs to just be stated that this is massive for Kenny Payne. I mean, this would be... I didn't want to set expectations on anything right out of the gate because, one, we still don't know what the roster is going to be. And in this initial offseason for Kenny Payne, it's just going to be hard to really look at who he brings in and really assess his ability to bring in players. I think the first chance you're going to get to really see what Kenny Payne can do as far as assembling talent is this 2023 high school class, which, of course, features DJ Wagner, a guy that Louisville has a good shot of landing. But Brandon Huntley Hatfield, Devin Ree, and if they do end up getting Amani Bates, and they'll get others as well. In fact, Tyrese Hunter, the Iowa State transfer. I know Travis Graff of Rivals.com on his board is saying that he thinks Louisville's in great position to land Tyrese Hunter. And if they're to land, I mean, again, I don't want to get anybody's hopes up, but if like the first 4 guys you add for the future are those 4, I don't know how you can not be super excited and complimentary of Kenny Payne. Now, we'll see how it all works and how it comes together. I mean, it'll be a brand new team. I know you bring back 5 to 6 guys, and that's great, but you're bringing in 6 to 7 new guys. So we still have no clue what to really expect on the floor. But as far as grabbing pieces to then assemble a team for your debut season, if in fact they're able to have some success with these 2 names, Hunter and Bates, I mean, you got to tip your cap to Kenny Payne. Now, one thing that... that's out there, I think it might have been Jeff Goodman who's kind of made this public, is that some schools that were interested in Bates out of high school got such a bad impression from his entourage, I guess, his handlers, mostly his father, they didn't pursue him in the portal because they just felt like we're not dealing with that again. And I don't even know what that, like, if that means his dad is wanting a guaranteed amount of shots per game. Like, I don't know what that means. But apparently his dad is considered to be, you know, baggage, which it got me thinking, has Louisville ever dealt with that before? Because that's not that uncommon in college basketball, especially where you've got parents that are kind of a hassle, parents that talk to the media or tweet out and publicly express concerns they have with the coach. Like, that happens more often than people may realize, but I don't think it's ever happened here, at least recently. Like, Rick Pitino wasn't going to put up with any of that at any point. And Chris Mack, I know Jordan Wara's father was super involved in a lot of things, but I don't remember him ever being like baggage or like a distraction. So we could, you know, but this is sort of the cost of doing business. If his dad can be difficult at times and he is baggage, I mean, I think Kenny Payne, just from what we can tell, is going to be willing to take on that baggage because he's the kind of coach, when it comes to his ability to relate to people and just establish strong relationships, if there's one coach that could potentially handle this kind of stuff, wouldn't you think it's him? And the motor has been in question of Bates as far as, like, he's got all the tools, he's got the potential, but does he want to really lock in and compete and go to work every day? Like, does he have that? And again, when you read about why Kenny Payne is believed to be in great shape to land this guy, it's because Bates and his camp essentially think that Kenny's going to be the guy that can bring that out of him. There are more, you know, since he's been hired, there's more and more players that played at Kentucky that are no longer there, coaches that were there that are no longer there that I've talked to. Even his son who's now in the transfer portal, Zan Payne, who, again, well, I can't imagine he won't be a Louisville Cardinal. But, like, Kenny apparently at UK was the guy in practice that would, like, run these guys and just really, really demanding a lot out of them every day, making them better, you know, bringing something out of them they didn't even know they had. There are guys in the NBA to this day that still currently credit Kenny Payne for really showing them what it was to put in the work needed to be a great player at the next level. And, you know, that gets around, right? Basketball people talk, and apparently that's exactly what Bates needs. And I think that's why you see Louisville emerging as the school that again, right now appears to be in great shape. So we'll see. I don't want to get anybody's hopes up, but all signs point to Bates coming to Louisville, and I think that's a good thing, right? All right, we're going to get through more of our Derby profiles throughout the morning here. We've got a bunch of them. We've got plenty more to share throughout the week here, but we'll get to many of those today just so we can make sure we get as many in as we can before the actual Kentucky Derby coming up on Saturday. All right, if you guys want to be a part of the show today, I'd love to hear from you. Questions, complaints, compliments, insults, whatever you've got, you can send them in. 502-653-0790. Again, 502-653-0790. That is the number. And we hope to hear from you. You can also get in touch with me through email, nick@790krd.com. And if you would like to reach out on Twitter, that's also an option. @TheCardConnect is my Twitter. The station's is @790KRD. And again, you are in the Red Zone. We are proudly fueled by Thornton's right here on 790KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thornton's. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union tax line at 502-653-0790.
I was thinking about it yesterday, and I think it's safe to say, for me, this is the least I've been like into the NBA playoffs in a long time, which is unusual. The first round's usually not great, but I usually watch the NBA Finals, I'd say, more than the average basketball fan, especially around here. But one series so far that is getting good, and of course this one is not a first-round series, this is a second-round series, that is the Grizzlies and the Warriors, two really good teams, now tied up at two apiece. And Memphis last night, they still are going to need to win one on the road to win this series. But Ja Morant, 48 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds. He joined some elite company. He's now had multiple 45-point playoff games before the age of 23. There's only two others that have done that, LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. So Ja Morant is a star. And I feel like in the NBA, this sounds like an old man kind of thing to say, but I think it's true. Back in my day, the NBA, when I was growing up in the 90s and I watched NBA playoffs, like, this has nothing to do with like the caliber of play and or player compared to then and now, because I think the NBA, as far as style of play right now, for the most part, is in a pretty good spot. But like, it seemed more competitive. Like, it was personal. Like, there were rivalries. It got heated, and we don't see that as often anymore. But we're seeing it in this series, where last night early on, I think it was for Memphis, but Draymond Green took an elbow. And got taken off. Had to leave the floor. Was split open. Was bloody. And as he's leaving the arena to go back, leaving the court, I should say, to go back to the tunnel, and I guess get medical attention and be evaluated for something. He flipped off the entire arena, which is just not something you normally see. But I love it. It adds to, you know, if your children had to see it, oh, I hope they recover. But like, I like this competitiveness. There's the Last Dance, which it's crazy to think that was 2 years ago. But the Last Dance series, obviously it featured Michael Jordan and the Bulls, but that era, 90s playoff series, the competitiveness was just different level, in my opinion. And it's not that I think the guys out there just aren't competing, but I feel like there's a vibe in the NBA now with among the stars where they're too cool to have rivals. They're too cool to really act like they take it personal when they're going up against another team. Like the Warriors and the Cavs were one of the better rivalries I can think of in recent NBA playoff history, and they refused to acknowledge that they were rivals. In fact, Steph Curry, LeBron James both asked about it and would always like, ah, no, we know, it's just another. And clearly they would troll each other. LeBron getting off the plane with the Ultimate Warrior t-shirt, like that's like, and that's good. Like, I love that part of it. But here's what Draymond Green had to say last night when he was asked about giving double birds to the fans in Memphis. Let's see here. Come on, it's loading. Here we go.
You're going to boo somebody who get elbowed in the eye and face running on blood, you should get flipped off. So I'll take the fine. I'll go do an appearance and make up the money. But it felt really good to flip them off. You're going to boo someone that get elbowed in the eye and blood running on your face? I could have had a concussion or anything. So if they're going to be that nasty, I can be nasty too. And I'm assuming the cheers was because they know I'll get fined. Great, I make $25 million a year. I should be just fine.
I'll give Draymond credit. I don't think you'd hear many players say that, and I feel like he's genuinely just being himself. Never seemed like a guy that really cared to be liked by many, but at least he's genuine. He's a competitor, and I've heard and seen a little bit of his work because I think he's in that rare. He's one of the rare athletes that actually currently as a player, although he's still playing, he still has like a deal with Turner. Like he's joined that crew inside the NBA from time to time. And he's going to be really, really good when he gets on TV full time, whenever that is. I mean, I don't think he plans on retiring from the NBA anytime soon, but
as long as he can keep putting up that triple single, he's going to keep playing.
Exactly. And he's making $25 million a year on that triple single. Right. So,
hey, at least there's some honesty there.
Of course, yeah. I love it.
I mean,
because it's the truth.
Because realistically, what percentage of fines even make a guy, even get a guy's attention? None of them. You know, I mean, like maybe, what, 5% of fines even get somebody's attention based on what they make for the year?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Well, and
most of the time it's like, oh, okay, I have to pay a $10,000 fine. Sure, it's whatever.
It's also he's telling you what he'll go do to make up for that fine. I'll go make an appearance.
Right.
Fine by me. It's almost like he knew when he was doing it, yep, this is the decision I'm making and I'm fine with it.
Right.
No pun intended.
And by the way, that speaking of, I don't know about rivalries, but that game, that series did give us or is giving us some heat. Not Miami Heat because they're winning tonight. But it's given us some heat because you had the Warriors winning game one, and then did we have for the first time ever a meaningful comment in an in-game interview?
We did.
Did you hear that?
Oh yeah, Steve Kerr.
Coach, when you said earlier today that you expected tonight to be the most physical game you played all year, is what we saw in the first quarter what you had in mind?
No, that wasn't physical. That was dirty.
And he didn't even really elaborate after that. He just, I mean, again, it's not a formal.
Oh, I'm sure the reporter wasn't expecting him to say anything
exactly.
Like that he needed to follow up with.
I think he's whiny. I think Steve Kerr has come off as whiny for a long time as the coach. But as you said, I think he's being honest in his mind, and a lot of coaches may not have said that. He did, and it's added some spice to it, and I like it. I'm here for it. I'm pulling for the Grizzlies just because I feel like they're the underdog, but they're not. And it's, you know, Matt, you mentioned this a couple weeks ago in the headlines that it's the first time, or maybe recently it was, I think, that this is the first time that the Warriors have won a playoff series since 2019, right?
Yeah.
And it's 2022. That just doesn't seem possible. So to me, they still seem like Goliath, even though they've actually been bad the last 2 years. But, yeah, Ja Morant is next level. He is he's something special. There's no doubt about that. All right. This is from uscasinos.com. And again, you are in the Red Zone here on 790 KRD. We're fueled by Thorns. I'm Nick Coffey, the marvelous Matt Allen. That's the other voice you hear. But those that are like me, that are casual really not even casual horse racing fans, but I get into Derby and try to pick a few different wagers just to have some fun like the other millions of people that that partake in this. And this is a survey. They surveyed over, looks like they surveyed, it says, a significant number of those surveyed, especially millennials, were prepared to pick a horse they'd never heard of if it connected to their life in some way. And since that included a name that brings back memories, having something to do with their lifestyle, or containing something associated with a movie or TV show that they've always enjoyed. So the as far as percentages as why people bet on horses' names, 18.9% was based on a history or fun fact. And there are a lot of horse names that I think are based off some type of a historical event or something in history. 21.6% is if it's unusual or different. That's why if this horse would have made the field, I don't know how unusual it is, but Call Me Midnight. Love that name. Didn't make the field. Another, let me see. I'm just trying to find the biggest fact. Yeah. If it's TV, movie, or music related, that was 11.6%. 12% was a nostalgic reason. 12.3 is familiarity. 8.8% was based off of current world matter. So go to, I'm trying to see if I can pull up the link here, but I mentioned this earlier, the Kentucky Derby horse name generator by the Courier Journal. I found that to be interesting. I'm going to tweet that link out if you guys want to check it out and see what your Derby horse name would be. But for me, as far as actual horses, I like Messier. That's one I really like a lot. Tis the Bomb. That's the long shot that I like enough to just throw it across the board and see if maybe it finishes in the top three. And if so, because of the odds, it'll give a decent payout. And that's what you aim for. We didn't have time to do it just yet, but I've got to get my kids to pick their winners because knowing my luck and knowing how I do when it comes to wagering on horse racing, a random pick for my kid. In fact, we do this a lot. Like if I've ever just had the Twin Spires app out, and I want to bet because, again, I'm still not allowed to bet in the state of Kentucky. Like, I'll look at five, six. There's some, like, five, six horse races, you know, sometimes at Keeneland most recently because they had their opening day a few weeks ago. But, like, I'll look and realize I'm literally just guessing. I know nothing. So I just go, hey, give my phone to my daughter and say, pick one. And no joke, that is a better – that formula works out for me better than when I try to do any kind of analysis and come up with some sort of a winner. So, again, we're getting closer, folks, closer and closer to the run for the roses. And it is nice. I'll say, and I know I've mentioned this here and there throughout the week, it just because we have Derby events that are going on. My wife went to one recently that she's gone to for years. It was the wine fest that they do. It is just nice to have Derby vibes back. We haven't had them since 2019. And honestly, the week-long fear of terrible weather, that's also a little bit of nostalgic too, because I feel like we do that every year, right? Because you never know what you're going to get this time of year in the Kentuckian area. And right now, of course, it's calling for rain, and I feel like that's pretty standard around these parts. Now, sometimes we've had really good luck and had great weather, but you really never know. I would hope that the current forecast is one that either changes or they just get it wrong. And let's be real, we all know that's not that uncommon for them to get it wrong. All right, quick timeout. What we're going to do on the other side is let you hear a Derby profile. We're going to do White Abario, which a really interesting-looking horse compared to the rest of the field. We'll get the Derby profile from Jody Demling on that horse, and we'll do a few more throughout the morning here. And we have to talk about something that is not surprising at all. In fact, it was probably something that should have happened more sooner. And that is these universities are college leaders, essentially, they're planning a crackdown on these NIL collectives. They're exploring guidelines, you know, to reinforce that boosters can't be involved in recruitment of athletes. And I get why they're doing it. They feel like it's totally out of control. But I just don't – I don't – if you want to get money – in some form or fashion to these kids to come and play for your school, it's going to happen. So they can try to crack down as much as they want. And yeah, maybe capping it at a certain point would be wise, but overall, I think the root of this is that people are just bothered that kids are making money. and they're worried about how it's going to impact their team. And I do understand that worry because, yes, there's going to be some schools that simply have more money to give out, so they're going to get better players. But again, those schools probably already got better players anyway.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD, fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
All right, so Jamie on Twitter asks if I was able to get the rotten milk smell out of my car. So I guess it depends on who you ask. So I'd say it's mostly gone, but it could just be that I'm now at least used to it a little bit because my wife, she claims it's not gone, but we'll see. She hasn't been in my vehicle since this weekend, so it's not nearly as bad as it was the first 48 hours. For those who don't know the story, my son threw his bottle down in the car, and I forgot that he did that and got him out of the car, left the bottle in there overnight. Milk leaked out, and that's what's crazy is the amount of milk that leaked out was very, very minimal, but that's all it took because it got rotten and just, you know, it stunk. There was no way. It was awful. So we cleaned it, air freshener, left the windows open, and of course some time has passed, so I don't notice it when I open the vehicle. But I do still keep the windows cracked if I can, and it's not going to rain outside because, you know, it was that bad. But I'm sure if my wife got in my car, she'd complain. But I feel like she'd complain about the smell of my car even if there wasn't molded milk because she thinks I'm a disgusting human at times. Anyways, thank you for caring. Doesn't look like I'm going to have to get rid of the vehicle or burn it because, you know, I can even if it is there, I'm now able to live with it, which is probably a scary thing. I don't want to be the guy who smells like dirty milk. And please, or molded milk, I should say. If you see me and I stink, please let me know because that's I'd like to change that if that's the case. All right, here's one of our Derby profiles, courtesy of our guy Jody Dimling, who does a great job covering horse racing, not only for us but also for Wave 3 Television this year. This is White Abario, a horse that has gotten a lot of attention this week. I'm not necessarily sure because it's believed to be one of the favorites. Post position number 15. Odds are 10-1, so it does have pretty solid odds. Certainly not a long shot compared to some of the others in this 20-horse field. But it's got an interesting look. White Abario, and it is a whitish gray horse. And again, here's our Derby profile, courtesy of Mr. Jody Dimling.
Now, a look at the Kentucky Derby field. One by one, White Abario.
Florida Derby winner White Abario was the last Kentucky Derby entrant to arrive at Churchill Downs. The gray and roan son of Race Day is 4-0-1 in five career starts for trainer Safi Joseph. White Abario's only loss came at Churchill Downs in November. He broke his maiden at Gulfstream Park in late September, then won at Gulfstream Park in an optional claiming race in late October, but was third in the Kentucky Jockey Club behind Smile Happy and Classic Causeway on November 27th at Churchill. In his three-year-old debut, White Abario looked impressive. A 4.5-length score in the Holy Bull Stakes at Gulfstream on February 5th. And then Safi Joseph pointing him to the Florida Derby, where he scored nearly a 2-length victory. Joseph, who won the 2009 Barbados Triple Crown with Are You Talking to Me, is a 35-year-old up-and-coming trainer who came to the United States in 2011. Joseph's only other runner who made it to the Kentucky Derby so far, New York Traffic, who finished 8th in 2020. White Abario will be ridden by Tyler Gaffleone, who was 0-for-4 in the Kentucky Derby. His best finish, 7th, aboard War of Will in 2019. White Abario, 4-for-4 at Gulfstream Park, 0-for-1 at Churchill Downs. He'll try to get his first victory away from Gulfstream Park in the Kentucky Derby.
When he won in the Holy Bull, I mean, he didn't have the best preparation there, and he overcame a preparation that most horses couldn't. He had one work in 3 weeks, basically. And I was a little scared to run him because I thought he may run 3rd or 5th and get beat far. And I think that was the day that was like, whoa, this horse can overcome variables that other horses can't.
There you have it. Big thanks to Jody Demling for putting all those together for us. Really appreciate it. And I'm sorry, I'm just looking at these. Paul Miles, our colleague here from News Radio 840 WHS, he gave me this sheet that has like a good breakdown not only of the horses, the odds, the post position, but the trainer stuff. And I'm doing some studying, folks. Don't let me get dangerous here. But it would be a great feeling because I was looking yesterday at some of the – because this is the week where I get hit up all the time from like TVG and Twin Spires and other places that – and it's not just me. They're not reaching out to me exclusively because, again, if they knew that this – if they knew the amount of horse racing talk that was on this show, they would steer clear. But they reach out to all people with a platform like this and want to get their guys on to promote, you know, not only – their network, but betting with them and all that kind of stuff. But you know, there are most of these guys that have made a career out of being handicappers and working for different, you know, horse racing entities as far as those that cover the sport and whatnot. They all have like a really cool story about like what got them into it and what big derby they got right that was a long shot. And it's just, I'd like to be able to have that. I don't have any sort of derby memory of like, man, you know what? Remember that year you knew this long shot was going to, you know, was going to have a good day. And it just, you know, I don't have that. Maybe one day that'll change. Maybe this year it'll be Messier, who I'm now, that's now my winner. Do with that what you want. All right, don't go anywhere. You are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thornton's. Take us with you wherever you go. 790KRD.com. Listen live on the iHeartRadio app. And again, we are fueled by Thornton's.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790KRD. Fueled by Thornton's.
That's right. You are in the Red Zone here on 790 KRD. We are fueled by Thorns. My name is Nick Coffey, the marvelous Matt Allen alongside today. Take us with you wherever you go. Listen live on the iHeartRadio app. Listen live at 790KRD.com. No excuse not to listen. All kinds of ways to tune in and take us with you wherever it is that you go. Well, we're getting closer and closer to Kentucky Derby, and that's exciting. And here's to hoping we get some decent weather. Doesn't look great, but fingers crossed. And yeah, we've got more Derby profiles to get to throughout the morning here. Also coming up in just about 25 minutes or so, we're going to talk to Dr. Larry Benz of Pro Rehab Physical Therapy. And I want to pick his brain a little bit on common injuries among jockeys, just because I feel like jockeys don't get the attention necessarily that they I mean, I think if you follow horse racing closely, you know who are the big jockeys that have made a lot of money and had a lot of success. But you know, this is just a guess. The casual observer of horse racing, I wouldn't even say like a fan because I don't, you know, other than the Derby, I don't really follow the sport at all. But I rarely even look at which jockey is on a horse when I pick, which may be why I'm so bad at picking winners. But anyways, we'll talk to Dr. Benz coming up here shortly. But I do want to remind you once again about the summer cash back at Thornton's. Each week, one lucky Refreshing Rewards member will win $10,000 all summer with a grand prize of a 2022 Chevy Tahoe. So if you have the app, open the app, click on Summer Cash Bash icon, and that will get you entered. And then from there, you'll get additional entries by purchasing select top brands like Mountain Dew 20-ounce bottles, hot dogs, 12-pack of Bud Light, large Doritos, and there's many more items you can purchase with your Refreshing Rewards card, and that, again, will be an additional entry. So if you don't have the app, here's how you get it. Text the word rewards to 80313, and then from there, you should be able to get it all taken care of. All right, 502-653-0790, that is the text line. We'd love to hear from you. Questions, complaints, compliments, insults, whatever you've got, feel free to send them in. And one question that has come up this morning is not a big shocker, and I do think we elaborated a little bit on it earlier, but Amani Bates, the highly coveted transfer. Well, I say highly coveted, but there are some schools that didn't reach out to him this time around to recruit him after apparently being turned off by him during the recruiting process when he was coming out of high school, whatever that means. I don't know the details. But that was a big takeaway. This is a guy who was previously the number one player in America in his class before he reclassified and jumped up early. And the question that comes in is, hey, why did, if this kid's so good, why is it likely going to come down to schools like Louisville and Oregon? Louisville and DePaul. I keep saying Oregon because Oregon's former assistant is now DePaul, Tony Stubblefield. So yeah, most believe it's going to be either Louisville or DePaul. And I get it. The optics of that are like, if this kid is as good as advertised, you would think there'd be a lot of other schools in the mix here, and some of them are not. Now, for what it's worth, Michigan was all in early on, and it turns out Michigan, they don't have any room for him. They've got no scholarships left. They've got two guys that are out there with their name in the draft, but I think the expectation is that those guys come back. So that's likely the reason Michigan is backed off. But other schools that didn't get involved, I think the report from those that cover recruiting is that during his high school days, Amani Bates, I don't know if it was him specifically. I doubt it was the kid. Maybe it was. I don't know. If it was him specifically or if it was his father, who is apparently can be looked at as baggage in the eyes of some. I don't even know what the accusations are as to why he'd be called baggage. But his father has come up a lot during his recruitment as somebody that I guess has been difficult at times. So I think that's a factor as to why some schools didn't go after him. If you remember, he committed to Michigan State, only to then decommit and then skip high school altogether and skip his senior season and enroll early at Memphis, which was a poor decision. I mean, he did get a year of college action as a 17-year-old, and it wasn't as if he was awful. He played about 20 something minutes a game and averaged double figures, so he didn't live up to the hype, but the hype was unbelievable. I remember in 2020, in the spring, whenever the pandemic first hit, we were doing shows at home, and I remember talking about him extensively one morning because this guy just won National Player of the Year in high school as a sophomore, and there were comparisons to LeBron James and Kevin Durant, which was never fair to this young man, but like the thought of him coming to Louisville is crazy, even though he has played now 1 year of college and he didn't come close to living up to the unrealistic hype, but still, like that, this would be a... This sounds like a lame thing to say because I said it earlier this week and somebody, you know, mentioned, well, if Kenny Payne just gets this guy and there's all kinds of buzz, what a great get, but he's not any good, then what's that? How does that help us? And you're right. Like if this kid does commit, and of course there's a lot of folks that say, look out for Louisville. This kid's going to be a difference maker, and then he's not. Yeah, you had very little to show for it, but I still think it's worth the risk because if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. And Kenny Payne, if he is strong at building relationships and motivating players and developing talent, if all those things are true as to what we've heard for years now, then I feel like this would be an ideal situation for Amani Bates. So right now, the latest is that everybody expects Louisville to be the school he chooses, and I really, really hope that's the case because they need players. And if this kid even comes close to playing at the level that people thought he could potentially play at when he was coming up through high school, I mean, he could be one of the best players in the ACC. And then Tyrese Hunter, I've not heard a whole lot about Tyrese Hunter. I mean, I know he visited Tennessee recently. I know Louisville was in to see him last week. He's the Iowa State transfer point guard, probably the best point guard in the portal. And again, Louisville's got a lot of competition. All I'm literally doing is reading what's on social media. So trust it for what it's worth. But it just appears Louisville's in a good spot, and they could potentially get both. Like if they could potentially get both Bates and Tyrese Hunter, and that would likely eliminate you from getting Isaiah Mosley, just because there's so much competition for him. Duke is all in. That's the Missouri State transfer that put up over 20 points a game, would be a fifth-year senior. So I think Louisville is in on him, but again, there's a lot of competition, and I think their primary focus is Bates and Hunter. But if your lineup next year is Hunter, Ellis, Bates, let's say Jalen Withers and Sidney Curry, or maybe Sidney Curry and Brandon Huntley Hatfield in your front court. I mean, yeah, that could be a really good. That's a good team. Now, how good they? I mean, I don't. That's such a general thing to say. That's a good team. Like, I don't really know what the ceiling would be for them, but like, if that's the starting five, you could see a scenario where they are a solid team that could make their way to the tournament. And I was getting ready to say, making the tournament should never be asking too much because 68 teams make it, and this is Louisville basketball, but we haven't made it in the last 2 years, and it had nothing to do with any kind of, you know, punishment or anything. It was because they just weren't good enough. But we can't, that's why there's a coaching change in place, because you can't let your standard slip. I still think those of you that say, look, I don't care what the roster is right now, the expectation should and is, whoever it is, build it to where it's at least good enough to make the tournament, because that's the bare minimum. I'm with you on that. I agree with that. I don't feel comfortable saying, look, you better make the tournament in year one, Kenny Payne, or you're already off to a tough start. I can't do that, because one, I haven't seen the team, and I'm not into expectations until I've actually seen something with my own two eyeballs. But I am with you, though, as far as like, to just have the baseline expectation of, yeah, be competitive enough to be fighting for a spot in the tournament. Without even knowing who the roster is, I don't feel like that's unfair. Now, again, if they swing out on some of these big names and you have to fill these final four spots with guys from the portal we've never really heard of that have only played at a lower level, then, yeah, you probably should brace yourself for maybe a not-so-successful first season. But we're still way too early to know. I mean, again, there's still four spots. And whoever these – not all of them, but at least two of the spots that you're going to fill in the backcourt – whoever it is, they're walking into a big role because you have no other guards. So that's the big part here. Like, if they end up landing Bates and Hunter in the next couple of weeks, at that point I think we can start to talk a little bit about, this is who you got. This is what you're working with. Yes, there'll still be some final spots you have to finalize. And who knows, maybe you end up getting a guy that was out there going to the draft but decided to come back. Who knows? But whoever the first two guards are, I feel comfortable in saying whoever it is, we know they're going to be walking into a big role because there's no other guards on the roster outside of L. Ellis. And look, I know you can put Mike James on, as a guard, but he's a wing more than a guard to me, because I don't see him at any point being one of your primary ball handlers. But that's just me. All right, 502-653-0790 is the number if you would like to text in. We'd love to hear from you. You can also email. I finally pulled my email up, nick@790krd.com. This is a really random and dumb question. I'm not even sure what this person's getting at, but this is from Dennis. He says, Nick, man to man, tell me, what's the manliest thing you've ever done? I don't know why you'd want to know that, but I'm not a manly man. I don't do a lot of I don't do outdoors. I don't hunt. I don't fish. I don't work on cars. If you're challenging my masculinity, it's up for challenging, I suppose, because I can't think of anything manly. I don't do this now, and I didn't do it often, but I have done it a couple times, and I would say this is the manliest thing I've done. I've changed my own oil in my car. That's manly, right? This was back when I was in my early 20s. I was very poor at the time, and I couldn't justify paying for an oil change, so I think, my stepfather taught me how to do it, and it was my old piece of crap Mitsubishi Eclipse that I used to drive that was a piece of junk. I would change the oil in it myself, and I would say that's the manliest thing I've ever done. I don't give off a lot of manly man vibes. That's just, it's not my brand. Unfortunately, it's not. Anyways, we'll move on. All right, so the last, I don't know, I guess really since college football season ended and since college basketball season has now ended recently, when it comes to college athletics, the conversation nationally, obviously people like us, we're hyper-focused on the local teams here like Louisville, Kentucky, IU, whatnot. But, you know, nationally, NIL and the transfer portal, it has created free agency and players up and leaving schools for big amounts of money, and for what it's worth, the young man we talked about yesterday, the receiver from Pittsburgh, Jordan Addison, he has in fact put his name in the portal, and it's it's because he knows he can go get. In fact, and by the way, he's the reigning national receiver of the year in college football. And we know the $3 million that was reported to be up for grabs for him if he goes to USC. He also gets a house to live in. And then now we've learned that Kentucky, apparently, there's a report out there from Pittsburgh's Rivals site that Kentucky offered this kid $800,000 if he entered the portal. So Mark Stoops, he's able to get some NIL money to go land players. So anyways, it's a big talking point, and most people are talking about it as a real concern. They think it's going to potentially ruin college sports. And although it's chaotic and it seems to be unregulated, I don't agree with that, but I feel like I'm in the minority. And I'm certainly in the minority when it comes to college leaders, because there's a really lengthy report yesterday from Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated, and it says that officials are exploring guidelines that reinforce that boosters are prohibited from recruiting. So college leaders are planning this crackdown on what is NIL collectives, which somebody asked me earlier, does Louisville have an NIL collective? I don't know. I guess the collective is essentially donors and supporters who have the means to put up some money together in hopes of, I mean, that's Tennessee. They have an NIL collective where they've got a bunch of rich people that are, again, putting up their money and putting big deals together to get big name players. There's a quarterback that's committed to Tennessee that's one of the best quarterback prospects in America. It's an $8 million deal. $8 million. And when Tennessee's got $8 million on the line, this kid is going to go to Tennessee. He's not going to go anywhere else unless, of course, the bid got higher. But like $8 million, maybe the highest we ever see, because that's insane. But maybe not. You know, maybe there'll be Arch Manning. He comes from a lot of money with the Manning family, so maybe he's not looking to get a huge payday for where he goes to college. But Arch Manning, because he's a Manning and he's the number one quarterback in America in his class, like maybe he's the guy who gets the biggest deal. Until, of course, years down the road when the next big name comes along. So there's all kinds of people out there suggesting that they have some kind of a cap, to where it's fair, to where if this school can offer this much and that school can offer the same, that's the maximum. Most of your high-level schools are in that range. And then it comes down to where the kid just picks a school based off of which he prefers, not the one that can offer more money than anybody else. And if it gets down to it, like there are some, like for example, this kid who went to, this kid that transferred to Creighton, I've already forgotten his name, but he played at South Dakota State. Baylor Shireman, I think that's his name. It was quite clear throughout his recruitment, because agents who represent these players are now saying, we're going to go somewhere where NIL, there's a lot of opportunity to make money. That's a big factor here. So basically, if you want to recruit my client, you got to cut the check. Like that's where we are right now with college athletics. So there were certain schools that, you know, in Kentucky was one of the schools that was interested early, and sounds like they weren't willing to guarantee him anything through NIL, so he didn't consider Kentucky. Kansas also, same situation. So in the end, he goes to Creighton. And what's that tell you? Creighton's not Kansas. Creighton's not Kentucky. This kid a week ago could pick wherever he wanted to go to school, and he picked Creighton. And they are going to be a good team next year, and he is from that general area. But at the same point in time, it's Creighton. So they probably were able to say, look, we'll pay you enough money to where it's an easy choice for you, because NIL money matters to you. So if, in fact, Kentucky was willing to offer money, let's say Creighton was offering $800,000 and Kentucky was going to offer $500,000 through some kind of an NIL deal, he may still choose Kentucky because, yes, the money's less, but Kentucky's a better opportunity. It's a better brand when it comes to college basketball. So there may be times where even if, you know, one school hits the maximum, if they do cap it and this is the most you can give a player – there may be another school that comes in with a lower offer, but if it's a better program, that could lead to where, you know, they're willing to take the slightly less amount of money to go play for a better program. So anyways, the fear is that, of course, it just gets to where guys are leaving every year, and that could be chaotic. It'll be the wild, wild west, and if it hurts your team, if your guy, like Tyler Harrell leaving hurts Louisville, but I still think the reason there are people so concerned about this, at the end of the day, it's for their own selfish reason. And I don't say that as a criticism. I know it sounds like that's what I'm doing. But you just selfishly are worried about your team losing players. It doesn't change the fact that these guys should be able to go do whatever they want. Why not? If there is a rich booster, donor, whatever, that is willing to pay a transfer or a recruit a certain amount of money, who are you to say that they shouldn't be allowed to take what somebody is wanting to give them? I just, to me, I know that I'm in a minority. I've accepted that at this point, but I guess I don't see it the way other people see it. So again, these officials, these college leaders, as they're labeled here in this SI report, they contend that boosters are offering inducements masked as NIL, which that's exactly what's happening, but I don't know a way around it. Now, these boosters that did go on the record and talk to Sports Illustrated say they know the rules and they are in complete compliance with both state laws and NCAA policy. They have receipts, and it's likely going to come down to a litigation showdown between boosters and the NCAA. But I do think these boosters are probably pretty successful business folks that do know how to do this without technically breaking the rules. That's like the tampering thing. There's a way for Alabama to let Tyler Harrell know that they want him and they got an NIL opportunity for him without technically doing what is believed to be tampering. So I just don't think there's a way around it. Now, a lot of the, I guess this is college athletic directors that did not, they're not named here, but in there's some quotes from college athletic directors in this report that says the regret is that last year they didn't implement a permanent NIL policy that would have barred booster involvement. And had they done that, it would have been a lot different. But you know what would have been required to do that? Leadership within the NCAA, which they don't have. Mark Emmert is a joke. I think his archaic amateurism model that he's been so dead set on for so long, because he's so dead set in his ways, like, even, you know, he didn't the NCAA didn't change anything. The government decided, you know, there's no way you can keep these guys from making money. So because they didn't actually implement the change, they were forced to allow it out of their control. They didn't implement any policy because they've never, like, the NCAA, that's why I just think the NCAA is dead. Am I the only one who doesn't have any faith that they're ever going to, I mean, I don't feel like the NCAA is ever going to really be able to enforce anything anymore. They're useless. And it really, really showed last summer whenever they got, it was a unanimous vote. And this really is the first, like last year, of course, it was all brand new. Whenever this happened in the summer, most kids were already at the schools that they were at, meaning like you couldn't leave. So what I mean is, like, we didn't really go through an offseason last year where players were transferring because of NIL opportunities. Now that's what's happening on a daily basis, and it's making everybody uncomfortable. And I do understand how it's just, you know, the optics of it are like, what's going on? This is crazy. We've never seen this before. But just consider, take away the fact that it could flip rosters every year and it could make it even harder for the lower level schools to compete with the higher level schools. But it's still, I think it's the right thing to do on behalf of these players. And those that say, well, no, you got to be able to earn it. Well, if somebody is willing to pay it, they've earned it in their eyes. And I just don't, I think it's actually pretty simple if you look at it that way. But again, I realize most do not agree with me on this specific topic. All right. Dr. Larry Benz, Pro Rehab Physical Therapy. He's our guy. He's the best. He's going to join us coming up on the other side as we get set for Kentucky Derby. So stick around. You are in the Red Zone again. We're fueled by Thorns here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD, fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union tax line at 502-653-0790.
That's right, the Red Zone rolls along here on 790 KRD. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Take us with you wherever you go with the iHeartRadio app. Also listen live at 790KRD.com. Let's bring him in. He's Dr. Larry Benz of Pro Rehab Physical Therapy. Good morning, Larry. Happy Derby Week.
Hey, good morning, Nick. Happy Derby Week to you as well. What an exciting time.
No doubt about it. First time we've had what seems to be a normal Derby in 3 years, which has been a long time coming. The Derby vibes are certainly strong. Are you a horse racing fan? Are you somebody that follows the sport casually, or maybe are you really into it? Or do you just pay attention to the one race yearly that of course gets so much attention?
Oh, no, I casually follow it. I will certainly be there this weekend for both Oaks and Derby. Going to stop by the track for, an hour or so each day, today and tomorrow. I have not handicapped all the races yet. Certainly the Oaks looks like two preeminent favorites there, and I love what's shaping up in the Derby. Going to be very competitive.
Of the Derby horses, is there one that stands out to you up to this point? I know you haven't done all your homework just yet, but is there a buzz horse for you?
There is. I'm a big believer that the Derby is all about the story and the nostalgia,
sure,
and the pageantry. And the trainer for Epicenter, Asmussen, hasn't won the Kentucky Derby. And so, sentimentally, he's due, and he's got a great horse.
There you go. All right, so the jockeys that are on these horses, they're a big factor as well. And I think the casual fan like myself, I should probably pay more attention to which jockeys are on each horse, because there's certainly some jockeys that have made a lot of money and had a lot of success, and therefore it might make you lean a certain way when you're picking your horse and you're making a wager. But when it comes to the training regimen of a jockey throughout the year, I mean, they've got to stay at a certain weight. I'm sure but they also, of course, need to be pretty strong. They are athletes themselves. It's not as if they can just be thin and frail and not strong. But does a jockey, is it more of a dietary thing to stay in shape, or are they doing a lot of actual physically working out to maintain the physique and the frame that they need?
Well, the times have changed, just like all, athletes. And the jockeys are perhaps some of the best shape of any athlete around. I mean, they're riding a ton of flesh at 40 miles an hour. They have a very strict fitness regimen. As you know, they have almost no body fat on them, oftentimes limited to, one meal a day. Traditionally, they got in shape by riding. And so there was this idea that, 100% of their training was by riding horses up to 150, miles a week. It's changed. A lot of old school jocks are more like 90% train on the horse, 10% fitness. And others have gone more to, a 50-50 sort of regimen. But a lot of core strengthening, a lot of lower body. I think if you watch them in that crouched position, it will help explain their fitness levels. That's called the martini glass position, by the way.
Interesting.
And so a good portion of training is replicating that position. Think of yoga and planks and lots of sit-ups and, again, a ton of core. Also balance. The biggest change I've seen in the training of jockeys is the simulators that are out there now. These are sort of these life-size legless horses, if you will. I think the most famous one is called the Equisizer. And that's sort of a cross between a rocking horse and a bucking bronco. And the balance and the ability to do that takes incredible cardiac shape. These folks also, some of them are joggers, some of them are bike riders. Tremendous, tremendous athletes. And, we say in business, it's not the horse, it's the jockey. And I fundamentally believe that in the sport as well.
When is there, I assume most of these jockeys at a young age are aware that they may fit the profile that's needed to for this specific position in horse racing. I mean, I'd say at an early age, right, is when they determine, okay, this is something I could actually do, and I'm going to go all in.
There's certainly some of that, especially in the United States, among certain ethnic groups where they've had a tradition and a history. I think what's evolved, like anything else, is there are now more schools for jockeys to attend. If they have sort of a predilection, if they have a genetic disposition, they actually go to various schools, not only in the United States, but they're very common, all over Europe, particularly in Great Britain.
That's interesting. Now, when it comes to the actual, they have to stay at, is there a certain weight they have to stay at that's, just the baseline of, hey, this is where you have to be? Because does it fluctuate? Does it depend on the kind of horse that they're on? And again, I'm asking very, very basic questions here because this is just something I don't have the information on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there are some jockeys that struggle with weight, and there's others that can eat anything they want. They're just major calorie burners. I think like most sports, there's a seasonality to it. And so very few jockeys will be active, 365 days a year, even though technically you could find a racetrack somewhere in the United States functioning. So they will have some what they call periodization, where they're in a training mode. There'll be some times when they kind of let their hair down and eat what they want, and they gain a little bit of weight, and then they get back in shape, much like you would see any other professional athlete. But yes, weight is a real critical element of it. They've made some allowances in the you know, current years that have really eliminated the age-old, you know, dieting until you kind of anorexic and bulimic and those kinds of things. I mean, you still hear about that once in a while,
yeah.
But thankfully those days are for the most part gone.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that I would imagine the average spectator doesn't realize what these guys probably, how hard they have to work to maintain their body, just like, as you mentioned, just like other athletes in other sports. So very fascinating stuff. All right, let's switch gears to the NBA playoffs. Last night, the Milwaukee Bucks, they had some trouble. They ran into a Boston team that played much better than Game 1. That series now tied up at one apiece. And the Bucks have looked good in the postseason despite not having one of their better players, Chris Middleton. He's an all-star. He and Giannis play really well together, were a big factor in their championship run a year ago. But Middleton is out with a sprained left knee. They haven't given, at least I haven't seen much of a timetable. I think a couple weeks is what I'd heard as of last week. When you hear sprained left knee, is that something they're going to continue to do imaging on? Is that just kind of, hey, wait and see if he's going to have pain tolerance?
Yeah, and he's, you know, as you all know, he's a beast. He's a big guy. I think, you know, when you hear knee sprain, you have to remember there are effectively, you know, three types. Call it mild, moderate, severe, for lack of a better term. And it really is a function of how much of the integrity of that ligament is in place. If it's a very mild tear where there's really no, you know, not any significant tear, it's usually a couple weeks. And, you know, you get to the medium or moderate level, and it could be a 4 to 6 or 8 week. If it's severe, it could be a surgery. Obviously, he doesn't sound like a surgical candidate. They get very coy around the playoffs, but it's certainly, you know, they've been you know, very adamant that you know, it's day to day, and you know, he certainly missed this past game, but he's real critical to their success.
No doubt about it. I think, unfortunately, the playoffs, I think they've been good thus far, although I haven't watched them as much as I usually do. It seems like it's been fairly competitive. In fact, I think the first round games had better ratings in many years. But there certainly is the storyline of injuries. And Joel Embiid, an MVP candidate this year, he's been phenomenal. He did not travel with his team games 1 and game 2 because of an orbital fracture. Sorry, it's tough for me to say. And he also had a concussion. He's going to be evaluated today to see if it's possible for him to play once they shift back to Philadelphia. I mean, is that something with the fracture there? Is that something that he can just, you know, can you mask up there and then hopefully just get through concussion protocol? I mean, Philadelphia, of all the teams in the playoffs, I think he is maybe most pivotal to his team than anybody.
Yeah, it's a bad injury. On top of the fact that he had a concussion. So the concussion is a little more straightforward. There's a protocol that they have to follow for that, and there'll be certain, you know, tests that he has to pass. You know, the orbital fracture is really, really tough because, you know, these are sort of breaks in the bones around the eye. And so it might not be just one fracture. There could be fragments in there. And they're almost always the result of, you know, trauma. You know, being hit, you know, just like, you know, jockeys, their most common injuries are those when they've had trauma. And yes, you can, and he will definitely be in sort of a mask. But the real issue is, what was the bleeding looking like? What is his eyes telling him? What's happening there? So you need time. Now, the NBA playoffs, are a little bit more, you know, stretched out
sure.
than other, you know, sort of professional sports. So he's got that going for him. But these are very, very tough things. I think it was in his right side. And if you look on YouTube or, you know, anything you want, you can sort of see the injury unfold. You almost wonder why it doesn't happen more in the NBA, you know, with all the collisions. But it isn't very common, but when it is, it's a bad injury.
Now, mentioning an injury that isn't very common, we had one just recently last night in the late game between the Grizzlies and the Warriors, where Dillon Brooks was ejected for a flagrant 2 foul as he took out Gary Payton II, which I don't think it looked, to me it didn't look like it was super intentional, but obviously the refs disagreed, and Gary Payton now has a broken elbow. You don't hear about that very often. I would imagine, I mean, again, what do I know? But a broken elbow, that seems like something that you're not coming back from this postseason.
No, he's done. Yeah, if it's truly a fracture, as they're reporting it, his season is unfortunately over.
Is that a rare injury overall? I mean, I don't feel like I've heard of a lot of fractured elbows. I've heard of broken arms. I guess maybe they could at times could fall under the same umbrella there, but that just seems like something you don't hear of very often.
Well, amongst the pros, it's actually very uncommon, but amongst kids, it's very common. And so you have that sort of growth plate issue on little kids or middle schoolers. And then usually in the pros, unless it's, you know, something, a freakish kind of accident or a fall, usually don't see it. But you know, he's...
Sounds painful, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they said he's, you know, undergoing MRIs and everything else. Steve Kerr, I don't know if you saw the press conference at all, but they called it broke the code. It was you could see the good or bad of having, you know, all these videos that you can see what happened. That's a tough thing. And, you know, that's one that'll take quite a while. Might need surgery.
Yeah, I don't watch NBA action or really any sport for that matter, hoping to see blood like Draymond Green got split open last night or the injury like this one that is pretty serious, but it is certainly competitive. There's no doubt about that. I mean, Steve Kerr calling it dirty, and again, you don't necessarily root for dirty play, but the competitiveness is there. That should be a really good finish here between these two teams in the Western Conference. But Larry, thanks as always for your time. Enjoy the rest of Derby Week. Have a great time at Churchill Downs, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Absolutely. Good luck on your betting.
Thank you. That is Dr. Larry Benz, Pro Rehab Physical Therapy. I think he may know that I need that good luck when it comes to betting because I don't have much of it, but take any luck I can get. In fact, I may be reaching out to Larry. He said he's going to do some handicapping. Maybe I'll steal some of his wagers. All right, we've got more Derby profiles for you guys coming up on the other side. Which horse we want to do? Let's do Summer is Tomorrow. Let's do that one coming up on the other side. We'll also try to empty out this text line, so don't go anywhere. You are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thornton's right here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thornton's. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
I try to, when possible, to use this platform to share good stories. And I thought this was a bad story, but there is a good story that comes from it. And that was the really scary situation yesterday where a school bus on 64 overturned with over 20 students in it. It was a school on its way to Manual High School. And luckily, nobody was seriously injured, it sounds like. There were some students taken to the hospital, banged up, obviously shaken up, but could have been a lot worse. But there was a woman who was actually driving behind the bus. She's a doctor here in town. And she was actually taking her kids to school, and she noticed that the bus, I mean, I don't know if she saw the collision actually happened or if she pulled up and saw that, oh, wow, this school bus is overturned. But Dr. Corey Harris was one of the first that was on the scene. And I guess the top hatch of a bus, you guys know what I'm talking about on a school bus, the thing that pops open, I guess that had popped open while the bus overturned. And she climbed in and checked on all the kids, and some of them were bleeding and you know, banged up a little bit, but she and the driver helped get the kids off the bus through that, and everybody was safe. So, I'm sure she was there to put some kids at ease right after they had wrecked that, hey, everybody good, let's get out of here, you know, we're going to be okay. So, yeah, a really scary situation, and it turns out this is one of many JCPS bus accidents just in recent weeks. So I'm not sure what has led to that. Yesterday, I think it was probably weather-related because I think they said that the bus had hydroplaned, which I remember specifically on the show talking about how I had to go like 10 to 15 miles under the speed limit on the way in because it was raining that hard. So I assume that was the big factor there as well. So anyways, a good story that, of course, a bad story that ends with some good. Nobody hurt, and a good Samaritan there on the scene to help others in need. All right, here's one of our many Derby profiles we've got for you. This one is Summer is Tomorrow. Not one of my favorites when it comes to names, but one of the better of the field, in my opinion.
Now, a look at the Kentucky Derby field, one by one. Summer is Tomorrow.
One of the long shots in the Kentucky Derby field is going to be Summer Is Tomorrow. The Bay Sun of Summer Front is going to be at or near the front of the race into the Kentucky Derby. He is 2-3-0 in 7 career starts. He was second in the UAE Derby behind Crown Pride in his last race. Typically, the UAE Derby, not a great prep race for the Kentucky Derby. The winner has only been fifth one time from the UAE Derby. Trainer Bhupat Simar will be making his first career Kentucky Derby start. He's a former assistant trainer to Bob Baffert for 5 years. It'll be the first ride in the Kentucky Derby for jockey Michael Barzalana. Summer Is Tomorrow is owned by Michael Hillary Burke and Igar Burke. Summer Is Tomorrow opened his career with a second-place finish and then a seventh-place finish in Dubai in November and December. 2 days before Christmas, Summer Is Tomorrow broke his maiden in Dubai at Madan. He finished second in an allowance race, was fourth, and then won an allowance race in late February before finishing second to Crown Pride in the UAE Derby on March 26th. Summer Is Tomorrow was bred in Kentucky by former Kentucky Governor Brereton Jones. Summer Is Tomorrow, a long shot in the Kentucky Derby field.
Yeah, let me see if I can get the latest odds here on Summer Is Tomorrow. So if you're somebody who likes that name and you are wanting to go with an underdog with not great odds, that would potentially be a nice payout for you. I think the odds are 30-1, and it is post position number 4. So Zandon still the odds-on favorite, the betting favorite behind Epicenter. And then after that, you've got horses like the one that I've decided I really like, which is Messier. You've got, what was the other one here? Mo Dongle or Dungle. I'm not sure how you say that, but that's another horse that's gotten a little bit of attention. Taiba. And then also the other horse that I think is getting some buzz, decent odds, 10-1 in the 15 post, is White Abario. We played that Derby profile for you guys earlier. That one, I think people just like the look of that one, and I do as well. Definitely a different looking horse than what you normally see from most of the horses in the Derby. But yeah, there you go. All right, we got one more timeout to get out of the way. Actually, we got more, but let me put it to you this way. We got another hour to go, and the next time after this one that you hear a commercial break, we'll start that break with a chance for you to win $1,000. So you're welcome. All right, you are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thornton's. Hour number 3 on the way. Headlines, Watch Wednesday. We'll squeeze it all in right here. Again, we're fueled by Thornton's on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thornton's.
That's right. You are in the Red Zone here on 790 KRD. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. My name's Nick Coffey, the Marvelous Matt Allen, alongside today. Don't forget, take us with you wherever you go with the iHeartRadio app. Listen live at 790KRD.com. Also, don't forget to sign up to be a Refreshing Rewards member at Thorns if you haven't already, because they've got the Summer Cash Bash that's starting, where they're going to give one lucky Refreshing Rewards member $10,000 all summer. So each week, one lucky member is going to win 10 grand all summer with a grand prize of a 2022 Chevy Tahoe. Super simple. Open your Refreshing Rewards app. Click on the Summer Cash Bash icon to enter. And that's not all. You can earn additional entries by purchasing select top brands like Mountain Dew 20-ounce bottles, hot dogs, Bud Light 12-packs, large Dorito bags, and many more. So if you're not a member yet, I don't know what your excuse could possibly be given how many times I've told you to do it and given you many examples of why you should do it. But if you have it, you can text the word rewards to 80313 today. Again, text the word rewards to the number 80313, and you'll be good to go. All right, so Kenny Payne, so far, two commitments. Two players have decided to join Kenny Payne in his first season at Louisville. One is Devin Ree, the first kid to commit to him out of the high school ranks. He made it official, I think it was yesterday, by sending over his letter of intent. And then Brandon Huntley Hatfield, the Tennessee transfer, a former five-star recruit that enrolled early. He jumped up a year. He reclassified early, was still believed to be a top 25 player in that class that he jumped up early. And he played one season as a 17-year-old at Tennessee, and again had some moments. Didn't have a crazy stat line, but he did play behind some veterans and a guy that most believe still has a lot of NBA upside. Well, there's another guy in a very similar situation. Played one season in college as a 17-year-old who should have been a high school senior, who's now in the portal. That's Amani Bates, a guy we've talked about quite a bit. And all signs point to Louisville being the leader for him right now. Here's a quote from Bates to Joe Tipton of On3Sports.com. I've known him since I was in seventh grade. I took a visit to Kentucky when I was a kid, and me and him had a bond. We were always really, really close. KP is someone I would really love to learn from, end quote. That also comes the same day that those that have the ability to put in a crystal ball, which is a recruiting prediction, where they think a kid's going to go, whether it be a transfer or a high school kid. And anybody who has one, anybody that's making a prediction on Amani Bates seems to be predicting that Louisville lands him. So we'll see if that actually happens. But if so, the path was not something we're necessarily used to. But both of these guys are, you know, still believed to have a ton of NBA upside. And maybe it's me, I don't think we've seen many players in the last couple of years at U of L that appeared to have much NBA upside. That's not to say they may not get a shot to play in the NBA one day, but these are five-star recruits. And I know we're talking about their high school ranking after a year of playing in college where they weren't necessarily as good as maybe some people thought they would be. But there's still a lot of potential there. And a big factor in this is that both these kids that played, I say kids because they are kids, they were children, not grown men, when they played college basketball last year for one season. Brandon Huntley Hadfield and Amani Bates should have been high school seniors a year ago. They chose to enroll early, and they did get some valuable experience. And again, Bates averaged double figures at Memphis, playing in not only a decent league in the American, but that's a league that had a lot of super seniors, right? That's a 17-year-old kid playing against some guys that are 23 years old, 24. And again, he didn't necessarily knock it out of the park, but I think the optics, the noise around what Memphis's season was has led to people exaggerating how underwhelming Bates was. Again, he averaged double figures. It wasn't as if he couldn't get off the bench. Now, there was some turmoil internally at Memphis. I don't know if he was at the center of that. But, I mean, if you listen to Penny Hardaway, which, again, you may not want to listen to Penny Hardaway, whenever they did have some issues early on and it looked like their season was going to be a disaster before they salvaged it and made the tournament, Penny Hardaway blamed his veterans, those guys, the older guys, on being, you know, jealous of, I guess, the role that both Amani Bates and Jalen Duren had. So I'm sorry. I know that there's going to be some that say, look, the kid's got baggage. Maybe he's a head case. Why aren't more high-profile schools recruiting him if he's so good? There's got to be more to the story. Like, I know you may hear that noise from some people, but not me. If Kenny Payne can – I mean, Louisville needs bodies. They need players. They've got four scholarships available, and they need more perimeter players, and Bates can be exactly that. You could put him on the wing, and it's. I mean, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. If he is even close to his potential, even if it's in one season with Kenny Payne here at Louisville, he'll likely be one of the best players in the ACC. So still too early to really evaluate Kenny's ability to get players in. But I didn't think we'd be doing that anyway, right? I thought that, hey, 2023 is going to be when we really get a feel for Kenny Payne's ability to bring in elite talent. And they appear to be in good shape with some of those recruits, including the number one recruit, DJ Wagner. But I don't know if many had any expectation because he's so late to the party when it comes to 2022 kids. Most of these kids were already elsewhere when he got the job because they'd already signed letters of intent. So with that, I didn't really think this would be I mean, I was hopeful that he'd land some guys that make you feel optimistic about his first season, but I'll bring all this up to say, if in fact we do see we already have Huntley Hadfield, you already have Devin Ree, if you get Bates, and then maybe if you could somehow get Tyrese Hunter, the Iowa State point guard who's transferring, I mean, I think we'd have to say, you know, and again, we'll have to wait and see actually how the season plays out whenever they actually have games and whatnot and what kind of results they put together on the floor. But as far as just assembling a roster this late in the game, I would think Kenny Payne gets a really good evaluation in his first offseason because he would have been able to bring back most of the guys that you wanted back and also go out and get guys that are at least believed to be impactful players that can really help you. So I think he's done, again, Bates to Louisville's not a for sure thing yet, but most people think it's going to happen. In fact, our man Mark Fiscarelli, this Twitter bot who apparently does actually have really good information, he may be the biggest tell that, hey, Bates to Louisville is happening, because it's Fiscarelli's got it. He put out last night on Twitter that per a source close to the situation, Imani Bates is locked in on joining Kenny Payne in Louisville for the 2022-23 season. Expect a commitment, quite possibly the biggest name in the transfer portal. In fact, 24/7 Sports actually has Bates listed as the best guy in the portal. And that's not even best available right now. That's best that has entered the portal since the season ended. So, again, I know a lot of that is based off of the hype that he had coming out of high school. But I don't think there's enough data out there to say, yeah, they were all wrong, this kid's a bust. Now, clearly, there were, you know, there's some evidence that suggests maybe he was slightly overrated when he was a sophomore in high school or whatever. But again, in my mind, not enough to where you would say, yeah, that guy's not any good, we won't take him. No, there's no question. The answer is yes. If he wants to come to Louisville, even if there's potentially baggage there, you take him and you trust that Kenny Payne can navigate through that. All right, this is something I wanted to quickly bring up here because I just think it's cool. So what is one thing that has become more and more popular, I guess, in recent years when it comes to sports? Gambling on sports. It's now legal in a lot of places. Unfortunately, it's not here. So sports gambling is now wrapped around a lot of the sports content you get from radio shows, podcasts. I mean, the amount that we see in regards to sports racing on like the four-letter network on television. MLB Network. Matt mentioned not long ago, they've got their own show that like talks about baseball betting. So it even 5 years ago, this was unheard of. So it's becoming more and more popular, right? What has become less popular? Not in sports, but just in general. Movies, going to the movie theater. Now, movies are still popular, but they're all streaming now, right? You can still go to the movies and see a movie, but movie theaters across the country are dying. I think the pandemic, movie theaters are one of many things that the pandemic, what it did was speed up the process of their death, in my opinion. That's just my opinion, though. But I haven't been in the movies in a long time, have no plans to go, because now movies I hear about that are a big deal, and of course I'm more into TV shows than movies, but I'll stream them. But anyways, the reason I bring this up is because this is a real, I'm curious if this will pick up and happen elsewhere. But there is a movie theater in Michigan that they're turning into a sports book. And I'm just curious, will that be a trend? I don't know if movie theater companies, whoever owns them, if they are if they're able to just flip their properties and become a sports book. I don't think it's going to be that easy. But think about going to watch games in the theaters. I don't think they'll have theaters broken down like they do. I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe there'll be a theater room that shows the current NFL game going on or this NFL game. So the thought of a sports book, a movie theater turning into a sports book, I just think it's cool. But I'm reading here from Action Network. It says, Imagine Entertainment owns 344 movie theaters on 29 locations in Michigan. But they found a way to keep themselves adapting with the times. The chain has struck a deal with Caesars that'll turn some of their theaters into sportsbook, calling them the Caesars Sports Lounges. The plan is to take over a theater's 42-foot screen and divide them into television showing a variety of games. In addition, the auditoriums will feature reclining leather seats and tables to hold premium food and drinks, which will be served on the premises. The first site is expected to be in Royal Oak, but they hope to expand to more states. So again, before I even read the story, I should have read the story before I even talked about it. They are planning to do this in a lot of places, which I think it's a cool concept. I mean, movie theaters are trying to do things currently to adapt and survive, like showing big UFC fights or big boxing matches or big sporting events for that matter. And it's not a surprise that it's hard for them to get people to come to do that, because it's never been more convenient to just watch stuff at your house now than it is with HD television. And I mean, it's easier to watch it at home. So they're getting creative. I like it. And again, we can't relate here in Kentucky because we're so behind in everything. We'll never have. I mean, I'm sure we will eventually, but man, we're going to be late to the party when it comes to betting on sports. We're already late to the party. We're an island now. Every state that borders us, there are six states that border Kentucky. All of them either have sports gambling legal right now, or it's on its way. And we, of course, will likely have to wait at least two more years. And it sucks. I hate it. All right, let's talk a little TV.
Come on down! You're the Mexican! about a little more of that good loving, Chef?
Damn, woman.
Take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life.
What you talking about, Willis?
Hey, butthead. What did people do before they invented TV?
Don't be stupid, Beavis. There's always been TV. There's just more channels now.
Oh, yeah. Progress is cool.
All right, we're not going to talk about Ozark just yet because we don't want to give away any spoilers, and also I haven't finished it. Matt did finish it, though. Also, I'm going to take a break on even talking about Outer Range for the same reasons because it's almost finished. I've only got two more episodes left. So
my biggest surprise with Ozark was that it ended up having aliens in it, too. Yeah. That was the big... I should have said spoiler alert, but the fact that aliens were in Ozark, that was really crazy.
Yeah. I finished a couple of episodes that we have not had time this week to do more than just the two, but how long did it... Did you all do it in 1 day, 2 days? Did you break it up?
We just did it over the weekend, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people did. That's how popular of a show it was, so we're looking forward to finishing it hopefully here soon, but I'll probably, on Friday... probably quickly watch those two last two episodes left of Outer Range because that's how much I'm into it. So winning time, the rise of the Lakers dynasty as I wait impatiently for more episodes of Outer Range, and I won't watch Ozark by myself. So when I'm by myself at the gym on the treadmill, I had to find a new show to start. And you guys had recommended this HBO show, and I've watched the first two episodes, and it's really good. I like it. I would say the cinematography is what stands out more than anything. I can't think of a film or a movie that I've watched that, of course, is showing late 70s, early 80s, and it actually really looks like it. It doesn't look like I'm watching something that was made recently. It's got the best of both worlds. It truly looks like they're capturing all this film in the 70s and 80s, but it also looks awesome. So I will say just... After watching the first two episodes, Matt, you've heard about Jerry West. I think you had it in the headline, how he's so upset about how he was portrayed.
Right.
I get it. I mean, I don't know what's true and what's not, but man, he seems like the worst. And I've only watched two episodes. He seems like the absolute worst, most difficult person. And I mean, that's a guy, he's the logo in the NBA. So I get it. Now, there are two sides of it. You know,
Do you think Jerry West, I can't imagine Jerry West... was watching the show, right? Like, don't you think the way that unfolded was somebody went to him and said, hey, man, you might want to check out this HBO show because it does not paint you in a very good light. I mean, do you think he was just firing up the HBO Max one day and was like, hey, look, it's the Lakers. I was a part of that. Let me watch see what happens.
My guess is that somebody got wind of it as it was being put together and let him know because – I think there are plenty of people that didn't like a movie that was made about their story because they feel as if the truth was stretched to make it a better story, which I'm sure it happens. His argument is different than those. He's claiming that all this just isn't true. And like what he's believed to be a guy that's a rageaholic, big drinker. And he's just flat out saying none of that stuff's true about me. Anybody that knows me will tell you that none of that's true. I don't know where you get it from. And I'm sure... some of it's exaggerated and maybe some of it's true. That's probably the best guess. But I will when each episode starts, they always tell you some of these things are dramatized. Like there's a disclaimer, right? This one's not discreet. This disclaimer's like humongously on the screen. So it's almost like they did in fact really stretch certain characters because they knew it would make for better television. Like this isn't like a documentary kind of thing. Like this is a show that just happens to be featuring real people like Magic Johnson and, of course, everybody that was around, you know, the Lakers. And why doesn't John C. Reilly do more stuff like this? Like, maybe he does and I'm just missing it because he's so good. And
He's generally very good, though, what he does.
What would you say he's most known for outside of the two Will Ferrell movies that he did, Talladega Nights, Step Brothers, both really good, but what's his biggest serious role? Do you know?
I don't know about biggest. He had a serious role in Magnolia, which has been 20 years now. He was great in that movie.
And he's an Anchorman and whatnot, but he's one of those guys that if he wants, and his role here in this one, it's kind of a little bit of both. Like it's not a comedic role necessarily, but he's kind of got like he's showing a side of him that I feel like is you've seen in some of his other roles, but like he's really good, but I can't, like he's one of my favorite actors, I think. I don't know where I'd rank him. I don't have a ranking, but I really do like his stuff, but I can't think of a lot of things that he's in. But maybe that's just because I'm not paying close attention. But he's great in it, and I'm telling you, the guy that they have playing Magic Johnson not only looks like Magic Johnson, I mean, they did a great job of finding somebody that seems to fit young Irvin Magic Johnson, but man, and I'm sure this was the case. This probably isn't exaggerated or stretched, but Magic was a star. Like he was when he's coming right out of Michigan State, going to the NBA, when he first got to LA, I mean, he was a superstar. And I, you know, the and I'm sure there was some truth to this, but they really made it seem as if Boston, they really overdid it in the first episode about, because what it came down to is, and I'm not giving spoilers here, I think you guys know that it was the Lakers and the Celtics were going to be flipping a coin and picking who gets the first pick, and one was going to take Magic, one was going to take Bird. And they really, really went overboard in letting you know that the only reason that Boston was for sure going to draft Bird is because he was a white guy. Like, I never had heard that was the case, but that could also be another example of maybe why Jerry West is mad, because they're really stretching more than most do when they make shows like this that are based off of real people, but they're really kind of creating their own stories within it, if that makes sense. Did Magic Johnson have a role in putting this together, do you know? I feel like he did.
I'm not sure.
But yeah, that's what's new for me. And you guys were right, because everybody told me you'd really like it. Check it out. It's great. And
HBO typically does a pretty good job. What was interesting to me is that they had so many people who were, well, who sports fans know. Like so many names. You're like, oh, I know that name. I know that name. I know that name. All of these people. And so you're thinking, well, are outside of John C. Reilly, and I guess the guy playing Jerry West, what is his name? Is it Jason something?
Let's see.
He's been in
Jason Clark.
Jason Clark. Yeah. He's been in some things. I mean, he was in a Terminator movie, and he was in some other things.
Adrian Brody plays Pat Riley.
Oh, that's right. Adrian Brody's in too. So, I mean, they have some solid actors in this, but I feel like there's, for sports fans, there's so many more names that you're going to have heard in the world of sports over the cast in terms of.
Did you know Jason Segel's in it?
The actors. Who's he play?
Paul Westhead.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's got a good cast.
Yeah, it's got a pretty good cast, but look, it's HBO Max, so I figured it would be good. So
Sally Field is Jesse Buss. So it's I really, really enjoy it. And this is one that I probably would have never thought to, because shows like that are based off of they don't, you know, unless it's something really interesting, I don't jump to watch those. But enough of you guys recommended it, and I said, the hell with it, let's watch.
This was put together by, who was this put together by? Isn't it the guy?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Let me see here. I thought it was the full cast and crew. It was put together by, like, is it Todd?
Creators Max Borenstein. You know who that is?
Adam McKay. McKay was one of the, and he's famous for doing some Will Ferrell stuff and some other like spoof stuff. I believe he was a part of it. And I believe, which is interesting to see how it went. Now I'm sure John C. Reilly's doing a fine job, because John C. Reilly always does a fine job. But I'm pretty sure the initial discussions around this series was that Will Ferrell was going to play Jerry Buss, and McKay, I think, had a hand in, this is what I read, going with Riley and making that decision and not telling Will Ferrell that he was doing it until it was already done. And I think they had a huge falling out, and they don't really speak anymore. Because Will Ferrell's done some Adam McKay stuff. I don't think they speak anymore, and one of the reasons why is Ferrell was set to play Jerry Buss. He went with Riley and didn't tell him until it was already in the news. And
let me tell you this, that now that I've seen what I've seen, I can't imagine it being Ferrell and not John C. Reilly. And I can't imagine I'm sure you can visually change it.
Yeah.
If you put Will Ferrell in a basketball movie in the late 70s, early 80s, I'm going to think semi-pro. I'm going to think he's Jackie Moon.
Right.
I'm going to make that connection. And it's John C. Reilly is the perfect blend of where he's got his funny quirks, but he's also serious enough.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
To me, with Ferrell, it would be more of like, this is supposed to be funny. That's just Ferrell. That's no knock on Ferrell. He's, you know, a legend. What show are you guys watching on Apple TV that you mentioned?
We just started. I'd rather not talk about it yet.
Okay.
I'm not a...
Give me an early return on Apple TV, though. Like, their content.
I'm not a... let's see. Let's watch two episodes and just go all in on the show. We'll see how it goes.
But Apple TV overall, good original content?
Yeah, I've been pleased so far. Nothing has blown me away. I think the only thing we've completed was season one of the show that I said you should watch because you would like that kind of thing because it was is it To Tell the Truth or
yeah
whatever the one that Aaron Paul was in where they're making the podcast. That was all right. It was fine. I liked The Morning Show better. The Morning Show had some a little bit slow parts, but had a
that was one of their first, right?
Yeah, it had a solid cast. It was it's I think when I talked about it, it's kind of like I said it was like a poor man's Succession. Like it has those vibes, but it's just not quite as good as Succession. But it's a good show. It's a good show, and it had really good performances in it too. I think those are the only two things we've completed. We've watched a couple more that we didn't finish, but I will say this. We were looking at the list of Apple TV offerings the other day, and there are at least a half dozen shows that I'm interested in seeing. So that is interesting. They have a really diverse and interesting amount of content that I think it's worth checking out.
What's it cost?
I don't know.
Similar
typical
to the
range
yeah.
of whatever they all cost.
I'm going to have to get it.
I don't know the exact one.
I'm going to have to get it because there's enough on there that I'm interested in now, and they've got a docuseries that that is releasing tomorrow called The Big Con, and it's about Kentucky native Eric C. Con, a larger-than-life attorney who stole more than $500 million in the largest Social Security fraud case in the history. He went on the run, was found at like a Pizza Hut in another country or something, and the trailer looked great. I follow that when it happened. He's from Eastern Kentucky, and he's an interesting character. So, yeah, it's called The Big Con, and it's actually really a sad story how he defrauded so many people. But his story is fascinating to me. See, Apple TV, I feel like early on I didn't hear a ton of good stuff about it, and now it seems like they're really building up their content like other competitors, and it's worthy of a subscription on my end.
Speaking of documentaries, wasn't there a big I don't know if it was – I don't know what it was on, but I thought of you when I saw this. I feel like one of them – and there's just so many of them now.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. One of them has a big documentary coming out. Isn't it today?
Not sure. You got me interested, though.
Because I don't know about big, but I mean, I feel like it's been very publicized, and I don't remember – which service it was.
It wasn't this one, was it? The Big Con? No?
No, I don't think so. There is another Lakers one coming out, though. You're talking about that is the one I think Magic Johnson had a hand in. There's a Laker one coming out.
Interesting.
Magic, or is it called Magic the...
Not a clue on my end. But if it's...
They Call Me Magic. That's on Apple TV.
Okay.
That's coming out.
Magic's got his hands in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. They Call Me Magic. I don't know when that's coming out, but it's going to be on Apple TV, and I do believe that is kind of like Magic's version of The Last Dance.
It came out on April 22nd.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Headlines are next. First, your chance at $1,000 is right now.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD, fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
That's right. You are in the Red Zone here on 790 KRD. Derby week rolls along. Been a fun week so far. Hopefully we can keep these good vibes going, and hopefully the nasty weather stays away.
It's time for the Fast Five Headlines with the marvelous Matt Allen.
Number one.
From the Home Court Strikes Back department, both home teams, after being down 1-0 in their series, came back to win their game twos. Boston blew out Milwaukee after Milwaukee blew out Boston game two. Boston 109-86 in that one. And in the much more interesting game, we had ejections, more ejections. We had flagrant fouls. We had
blood.
We had dirty plays. 47 points from Ja Morant, including, I think, the Grizzlies' final 15 points, and the Grizzlies win their 106-101 to even that series. The NBA playoffs will continue tonight. Back to the 1-4 matchups, Miami and Phoenix, both at home, both up 1-0. Miami and Philadelphia still without Joel Embiid. That'll start at 7:30 on TNT, and Philly-Dallas, 10 o'clock. On TNT. We know who's going to win those two series, so you can just wait. If you want to watch something that you may not know the end to, maybe go back and watch tomorrow.
Yeah, do you have lenience in this series? Like,
which series?
I'm sorry, I was just double checking the Memphis and Golden State.
I prefer Memphis win.
Yeah, me too.
I like Memphis.
Jaw's great, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely prefer Memphis.
I can't think of a young player in the NBA that right away really had me thinking, man, this guy, I can't stop watching because I want to see what he does next. There have been some really good players in the NBA, but Ja is sensational and makes me wish Memphis was here. We had an NBA team here, but you know, they seemed last night that crowd was rocking, so I don't think they're going anywhere. Number two.
From the number two or get off the pot department. What? What are you laughing at? Okay.
Kenny liked it.
Yeah, he did. The Lions apparently made the NFL upset with how quickly they picked number two in the draft. The Lions said Lions coach Dan Campbell confirmed the league wanted the Lions to use more of their 10 minutes on the clock. He told SI.com, quote, "I don't think we overthought it. Brad said, turn it in, let's go, because we knew we were good. Let's go, he's our guy. We weren't going to wait around. We weren't going to do the whole dog and pony show. We got our guy. We turned the card in. We said from day one what we want to do, what do we want our defense to be known as and built off of. That's this guy fits the bill. He's everything we're about." But apparently the league was upset because they knew, since the Jaguars didn't take their guy at number one, that they knew exactly who they wanted. So they turned the card in so fast that the league said, come on, man, what do you think? You on the Lions side here? They knew who they want? Or do they need to go with a little more pageantry and fanfare in the draft?
No, get it in. I mean, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
They know. They got their hometown guy. I don't see an issue. I mean, I guess I get from the NFL side as well, but overall, no. I mean, they don't need to go along with the pageantry. That's the NFL's responsibility. The Detroit Lions, if they're at any point going to be held responsible for the pageantry and entertainment of the sport, we're relying on the wrong people, the wrong franchise.
You think so?
I think so. Just wanted to play this again.
From the Seems Like a Nice Guy department, Fox Sports is reportedly courting Urban Meyer to bring him back to the airwaves because, you know, he doesn't have a job. But now, this is interesting. These quotes were from USA Today when Jacksonville Jaguars owner, I think this is just a situation of bad timing, because this interview was not in response to the Fox Sports Urban Meyer report. It just happened to coincide with it. But Jaguars owner Shad Khan was speaking with USA Today yesterday and was talking about Urban Meyer. Here's the quote. "When you lose the respect, the trust, and an issue of truthfulness, how can you work with someone like that? It's not possible." Now, you know that, of course, the Jags fired Meyer as head coach in December before he can complete his horrible first season. Khan said that the firing himself was, he was bitterly disappointed to have to do so, but that Meyer left him little choice. Here's more of the quote. Quote, it was not about wins and losses. I think when you know someone is not truthful, how can you be around someone, okay? We had Doug Marrone for 4 years. We had Gus Bradley for 4 years. I have nothing but the utmost respect and friendship with them. That's why they got the time, because it wasn't a matter about respect or truth. It was a matter of wins and losses.
Results.
Over 4 years. This is much bigger than that. That's not a ringing endorsement of Urban Meyer.
No, and that's like Urban Meyer's not a criminal. There are worse humans in America than Urban Meyer. Even last year, whenever he didn't come back with his team and was found at that Ohio, that Columbus bar or whatever, like even that was probably overanalyzed. But it's all because of the front that Urban Meyer has put on for so many years. Like, he's not the worst guy. He probably would be decent at television because he clearly knows a lot about football. But if he's going to be back on television and selling us this guy who's super, you know, morally, you know, he's in, yeah, he taught a class at Ohio State about, yeah, he leadership and character class. He taught that at Ohio, and that's just like, this is the guy that probably shouldn't teach that at all, because he apparently has very little of he doesn't have high character. He's not the worst guy. I don't know him personally. He's not out breaking the law, but he just seems like a big fraud. And I think that's what everybody sniffed out in Jacksonville, as most expected they would. These are pros. These aren't college kids. You can't treat this. I mean, again, it's almost like it was a joke Urban Meyer was in on, just to see how long he could get away with it in regards to no. He's like, he didn't even realize this wasn't college football. You're going to have to do some things differently and talk to people a different way. And he didn't have any intention of doing that. It's almost like, was he just trying to make, I mean, to think that he could literally just go to the NFL and do everything the same way he did in college and it was going to work is ridiculous. But we all saw it coming, and sure enough, it failed miserably. What was more predictable, that the Lakers were going to be a mess like they were, the old-ass Lakers, or Urban Meyer would fall on his face in the NFL? Both seemed to be pretty predictable things.
I think the Lakers were more predictable.
Yeah, the old-ass Lakers, that is. That was number three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Four walls to hear me.
From the Will This Work department, Lakers owner Jeannie Buss and Phil Jackson have been dating for a while. But
Laker Nation.
The working relationship appears to be strong. According to The Woj, Jackson, who coached L.A. to 5 NBA championships in the 2000s, is significantly involved in the coaching search after the official dismissal of Frank Vogel. Quote, one person who is significantly involved in this process is Phil Jackson. He's got a voice in this. He did last time when they hired Frank Vogel, Kurt Rambis as well. This is very much a committee in L.A. putting together this coaching search, and Jackson is significantly involved in the process. So he was significantly involved last time, which did not go well. Of course, a lot of people would say that's not Frank Vogel's fault. What do you think? Is Phil going to come up with a great name for the Lakers coaching search? And could that name be Ty Lue? I know you would love to see it.
You know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see Phil Jackson recommend the name of one John Calipari.
Oh, you think so?
He'd go now, wouldn't he?
To that?
He'd go. Now he'd go. He used to turn
Maybe.
Down NBA. He'd go now.
Know.
It's so hot now with him.
Yeah, but
he'd go.
That's going to be a... That's not going to get better.
Yeah, and he
they
does
can't
have
a, get rid of Westbrook.
And he does have a lifetime contract. But like his fans seem
LeBron is
him.
Playing great, but he's also 54. Anthony can't play more than 45 games a year, 50 games a year. I'm sorry. I mean, he's great.
Nobody wants Westbrook's contract.
And they're not getting rid of Westbrook. I don't know. I don't feel like that's
I'm with
fixable
you.
For a bit.
I'm not saying he should, because he'd lead him to greatness, because I don't believe that. But
he's going to have a lot more success at Kentucky than he will in L.A.
I'd agree. But and we didn't get into it much today, but it just seems like Cal and his fan base are at odds in a way that we've never seen. In fact, I think that's actually a pretty obvious observation, but it just seems as if this year they don't have a really good year, then like they're just done with him. Like, Twitter's where you would look if you're looking for the most toxic area of said situation that is Kentucky basketball and their head coach. If you just searched his name a couple days ago whenever Jay Lucas left, and you know, and they said some comments yesterday about not paying players through NIL, and just it seemed tone deaf, and it just seems like they've never been more fractured. But and look, you hate to see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hope that they unite. Number five. There's no time, right?
Nah, not really.
Sorry about that. All right, not a great group of celebrities celebrating birthdays today, Matt, but we'll start with one I know you know who he is, but I don't know if you know how old he is. Let's go with Randy Travis.
Ooh, Randy Travis. Wow. I'm going to say 74.
62.
What?
Yes.
All right.
How about Victor Oladipo?
29.
You got it. He's 29. What about Will Arnett, the actor?
47.
51. Lance Bass of NSYNC. I'm not sure if you know who that is.
I know who Lance Bass is, I think. Lance Bass is 44.
42.
Okay.
There's some others on here, but I don't think they're... I mean, I don't know who they are, and they're like metal singers or TikTok stars, so I'm assuming...
You don't think I don't know how old TikTok stars are?
There's a TikTok star who is celebrating a birthday today. His name's Kyle Culver. Do you know who that? Do you know how old he is?
Kyle Korver? Didn't he just play for the Nets or the Hawks?
Kyle Culver.
Culver?
Not Korver. Culver.
Kyle Korver.
He's
Culver. Like the burgers?
I'm guessing Kyle.
Like the restaurant?
I'm guessing Kyle Korver is 41 years old.
Okay.
Got it right.
Wow.
Swear to you.
Why aren't you guessing these? Why am I have to guess these? You're guessing them right.
We can flip it around. I don't think I'd be as good as you. But it's hard. I mean, some people that look, I mean, I look at these every day, and just so you know, I wouldn't get them right either. And some of them I'm really surprised on. I just think because of his appearance due to his health, I would have also guessed Randy Travis was a lot older than
he actually
is.
I just figured when I was working in this radio station in the 90s, I mean, I figured he was already in his 40s.
Was that when there were two wooden crosses?
Yeah.
On the right
forever,
side of
Never,
that
Amen.
Oh, man. He's great. I hope he's doing better. I know he had some health issues. All right, we're out of time. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy Derby Week. It's awesome to get the Derby vibes back, our first normal Derby in quite some time. So, again, enjoy it. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning right here on 790 KRD.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.